We had seen three different sheetahs of Rabbeinu Peretz. We had seen three sheetahs of Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz, let's just review the three sheetahs. I'm a Zephus, Sukkah, and Daf Testament Alpha. Rabbeinu Peretz asks the same question as Tosfos does. Why does the Gemara bring a special Zeres HaKasuv by Sukkah, Lemute Gzula? Why is it Chaga Sukkah's Tasa Lecha, Lecha Lashem Chopcha? I'm sorry, that we don't bring that. It's going to be relevant. When I learn out mitzvah baba, there has been a parrot to answer that on that test. It's the Drabanan. We quote a Drabanan source such as mitzvah baba vera if in fact there's a daraisa source such as the pasuk. If you saw that and nothing else, like Moses over here, you would believe that mitzvah baba vera is completely Drabanan. Problem is on Daf Lamin. When the Gemara there quotes mitzvah baba avera in the context of lulav hagadol, so Rabbeinu Peretz also asks, why quote mitzvah baba avera? Why not quote the pasuk? And he answers, I'm sorry, back to the back. Mitzvah baba avera is no problem. Why rather on this on daf lam? He asks, why does the bright on daf mem gimel quote the pasuk? Why not say mitzvah baba avera? Now, if you were Tosfos on Daf Tes, what answer would you have given? The answer that Rabbeinu Peretz does say on Daf Tes, what would you have expected to have said? Mitzvah baba avera is Rabbanan. We never quoted if there's a pasuk. However, that's not what he says. What he says is, Ein hachinami. Mitzvah baba avera should have been quoted if we were talking about a rule of Hagazel alone. But since we're also talking about a rule of Hasha'ul, well, you need the pasuk to teach me that. Implication being for a lulav hagadol, mitzvah baba avera is just as good as a pasuk, indicating it's daraisa. So what is it? Is it daraisa drabana? And just to throw everything into the equation, that's one problem. Is it daraisa drabana? Then the Rabbeinu Peretz says the same thing as Tosfos on Daf Lamed. It continues and says, just like mitzvah baba avera applies to karban, so it applies to all mitzvot. So he's mixing daraisa. In other words, it applies to all mitzvot. Don't think it only applies to karban. It applies to everything. And he brings the same raya from shegadol sa'a shel chitim v'tachna v'afa v'hefesh menuchala. That's also a case of mitzvah baba avera. And he extends it beyond karban. But to all mitzvahs, for example, lula, maybe others. Over here, hafrashas kala as well. Problem with the second half of Rabbeinu Peretz in Daf Lamed is that it contradicts the second psachim, because in psachim, on the Gemara of turning tevel into matzah, Rabbeinu Peretz says, we don't say mitzvah bova avera. That's why the Gemara has a special deres hakosuv over there. How do we limit mitzvah baba avera to only things of ritzoy, things that are mahalel et Hashem? However, in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Lamed, Rabbeinu Peretz says it extends beyond things that are mahalel et Hashem. He doesn't say that specifically because it applies to everything. It applies even to challah. Presumably, how precious challah is not mahalel et Hashem. It applies to all mitzvahs that rice is impossible. What? You're right. The Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Tzadik is talking about is whether or not you can make a bracha or not. That's a simple reason the Gemara. But how does Tosfos learn that? Gemara Tosfos assumes the reason why is because it's mitzvah baba avera.
And how can I say,
Baruch
Hashem, you gave me this.
In other words, you're trying to solve the second problem. You want to say, maybe brachas are reeds, right? Bracha is balarat. So therefore, the bracha, you can't make majority of the mention of a precious kala. And therefore, what is reedsoy? Maybe it's karbanos and lulav, maybe even brachas. What about sukkah? And sukkah would have to be in as well. Well, second part is the Rabban. You're only answering, in other words, really there's two theories. One is Lamed versus Tes, that writes the Rabbanah. And number two is lamed versus psachim as to whether or not it's bitsoy or by kol tarhula. Okay. Shurik wants to do is file the second stira. That's true. No, it's all mitzvahs that rise that are machmas the avera. In other words, it's not every situation ever, but it does apply to all mitzvahs. As long as you have the right scenario, which is machmas, it applies to all mitzvahs. So how do you solve these two spheres? So your Shulbrick wants to solve one of the spheres, and it could be it's a good chat, I'm open to it. It only solves one and not the other. And he says, if you notice carefully, the Gemara in Baba Kama, that Daddy Dal that's talking about the Hafrashis Chala, never says you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah, just says, Ein de Mevarech Ela Minoit. It's not a bracha, it's disgusting, which he assumes to mean you're Yotzei the Mitzvah, you're just not, you know, you shouldn't make a bracha. And therefore, maybe brachas are also balaratzos, they're ritzoi as well, and you could solve the second stira without solving the first. Could be. I'm open to that shot. That's what Shulbrick wants to suggest. That I don't have a stira as to whether that mitzvah of Avera is the right or the right. I don't have a heretz to that stira. In other words, Hes versus Lam doesn't solve, but whether or not it applies to all mitzvahs or ritzoi, the Shua says it applies to really just ritzoi, but the bracha is ritzoi. The problem is, he's not right. Who has a, take a look at, read the Rebbeinu Peretz on Daf Lam. You see, his mam is not matched from the words at all. It's a very tough read, meaning I hear what you're saying. Conceptually, it's not bad, but you'll read the words. You don't get the impression that the Rebbeinu Peretz has in mind. My initial reaction was to kind of work with it and move on to my second shot, which I think is better. But I don't think it's right at all. You got it? Sure. You got Rebbeinu Peretz? On Daf Lam. Yeah, read, but loudly and clearly. I don't have it open. I'm going to have to listen. Go. Right, that question. Answer. Mishum Shaul is clearly. The reason why you need the Pesach is because of Shaul. Continue. Exactly. And you don't need it because of Gazel, because Gazel is going to learn that mitzvah of Avera. Yeah. Like that.
Who had in the
Shar
Mitzvot?
Right.
The
Hamid
the
Reich that the Lufa Parashat. Stop right there. Yeah. Who had in the Shar Mitzvot? Now it's true he only brings the Raya from maybe the Bracha of Chala, but Lechor it's true by Shar Mitzvot. Tough read. So tough that I think it's not true. Yeah. Question is, can you say something else there, Ben Parashat? Let me just think that. See, I can't tell you one thing. Correct. That's what I wanted to say. Very good. Maybe one can argue that there are two models of mitzvah haba ve'avera. There's what's called mitzvah haba ve'avera me'adora, and then there's another called mitzvah haba ve'avera me'dirabbanan. When does the Torah hassle up the mitzvah? Only by ritzoi. When did the Rabbanan hassle it up? Called the Torah Kula by Shar Mitzvah. Maybe this is correct. I think it's the best chat you have to be a parent. I think it's almost all fast. Why does the Gemara Yitzchakim quote there's a question? Why not say this? They were the answer that's been parents because. Because it's not Ritzoy, which means the code word for saying is Mitzvah Baba Avera is the Rabbanan, but it's not Ritzoy. And that's what he says in the Sakhes Sukkah Nachas as well. He says Sukkah is only the Rabbanan. Now it's true if Sukkah he calls one, not Ritzoy, and in Sukkah he says it's the Rabbanan, but maybe that's one of the same. Because we only say Mitzvah Baba Avera Darais when there is Ritzoy. If there's no Ritzoy, well then there's no Mitzvah Baba Avera Darais. If there's no reach with Mitzvah Baba Rabban, you can really say either one because they're interchangeable. And he uses them interchangeably. If that's correct, so now I understand everything. On Daf Lamed, he calls Mitzvah Baba Vera Daraisa because he's talking about Ula, and for that matter, Karban as well. Therefore, Mitzvah Baba Vera Daraisa would be interchangeable for Ula HaGadol. But for Sukkah, and for Matzah Shel Pevel, for Sukkah HaGzula, Matzah Shel Pevel is Mitzvah Rabbanan, and therefore it's true by Shar Mitzvah. So this is lechora the best way to get out of the stira and the meitara. See, it answers all three problems. If it's a raisa, the rabbana, the answer is both. Depends on the matter. Is it reed sewer your shar mitzvah? The answer is depends. Mitzvah, the raisa is by reed sewer. The shar mitzvah is the rabbana. What? Matzah shel pebble. No, requested. Matzah shel pebble is. Hevel is daraisa, and not is daraisa, but mitzvah havah ba'aveira is the rabbi. Mitzvah havah ba'aveira only passes things up and at a Torah level when there's ritzui. In other words, the Torah told us, if there's ritzui, do not do mitzvah havah ba'aveira. And Rabbana says, you want to know what? Probably better we avoid mitzvah havah ba'aveira altogether. Even in non-ritzui situations, even in the non-ritzui context. And that's one way how to solve the ritzui parents. Now the truth is, it's probably the best shot. You may ask, why in Sukkah does he call it Drabbanan and in Musaf he calls it Ritzoy? Why not say both in either place? I don't know, but I think that's what he means. Furthermore, if the Lashon Shua Brick read me on that Lamed, I'm not sure if it helps me or hurts me. I can see it being debated. I'm going to stick with this Mahalach anyway. But the Lashon was, read it again, the Hu Adin Nami? Even though the pasuk b'gavi karbon, even though the pasuk is by karbon, who had did nami what the sharmit. I'm going to read who had did nami to be the rabbanu. It's a little bit soft. I recognize that. In other words, lechorim, one could have read who had did nami to be, not just is the halacha the same. But it's the same on the same level, meaning it's even a problem of mitzvah havah ba'aveira d'oraisa. One could have argued with Kantowitz and my pshat over here by saying it's not so mashma and daf lamed. I will try my best to defend it, but I don't feel confident enough that I'm 100% sure this is the MS. It's still the best pshat I have, I'm just not 100% sure it's the MS. Maybe one can argue when he says, read the lesson again, sure, one more time. Even though the pasuk is only by karbon, that's what daraisa. Who had din means it has the same din. It has the same halacha. It's not a binyan av. Sometimes there's a binyan av, which means if it's true by X, it's true always. In other words, it's not a drasha, but it's who had din nami. Who had din means the same halacha applies to. But it's not rooted in that drasha. It's not like, just like women are puzzled from Mitzvah Sasei Shazman, Grama by Tfilin, so the puzzled from all Mitzvah Sasei Shazman, Grama by Daraisa left. It's not a big dinam. It's not a real drasha. He uses the lashon of Uha Dinami. He's telling you it's true by other things, but it's not based upon, it's not an extension of the Xeris HaKasov. Rather, it's a, just happens to be the same halacha on a Darabanan level. Again, I don't know if I would have chosen those words, Neirosh, but I do think you gotta notice those words and you gotta try your best to hurdle them as best as you can. I don't know if I'm saying Brit Mif Hashem, I've never yet, I'll get up to Shanaim, and I'll bump into Rabbeinu Peretz. If I plan on when I'm chasing the sugya up in Shanaim, I'll ask him this question, like, what do you have in mind? I have every intention of doing so, unless I forget, I hope I won't forget. I really have every intention of asking this question. I don't know if I'll say this or not, but I do think it's the best shot we have. You know, 800 years after that, 700 years, 600 years after his death, we can no longer ask what he had in mind. It's the best we got. Questions? Otherwise, we're going back to it. Yeah?
Why would
it's a good question. The real question is, and I'm going to hold on just for that 3 minutes we get to Ritzoy in general, why would anyone distinguish between Ritzoy and non-Ritzoy? You with me? That's really your question. We'll get it. Okay. Yeah. Pardon me, I didn't hear anything. What? I don't think it's the same equation. I think it's a different question. It's two questions. Number one is, what mitzvah does this Chavah Ba'aveira apply to? Number one. And number two is, what situation is it a mitzvah Ba'aveira? In other words, one question is, what does mitzvah Ba'aveira mean? The answer is, they may facilitate the mitzvah. That's one question. The other question is, how many mitzvahs does it apply to? All of them? Some of them? Only mitzvahs that start with the letter Resh? Only mitzvahs that read to it? Which is a much better start than the Resh beginning. Okay. So this is true.
We could say that
he agrees that any time the Avir facilitates the mitzvah, you say mitzvah, blah, blah, blah. And it's true by all mitzvahs. Sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. The Greek story tells me where it applies to in terms of which mitzvah it does and does not apply to. Machmas, in other words, yes. One tells me what mitzvah about that there is, and one tells me where it applies to. Correct. That's why you discussed it at all. Okay, let's talk about the Reed's Way. Now, the truth is, we had seen three versions of Reed's Way, if I'm not mistaken, right? One is the outshot of David Parrot, which is Reed's Way is the Araisa, and non Reed's Way is the Ravana. We had seen the Ramban in Pesachim, who believes Ritzoy is the only character. And then we had seen the Ritzba's third Daya, who says Ritzoy is the source for Mitzvah Baba Meira. However, by Kol Targula, it's also Daraisa. In other words, Rabbi Perek had said Ritzoy is Min HaTorah. Kol HaTorah Kula is Midrabana. The Ritva had said, Ritzoy is the Makur, and Kol HaTorah Kula is a Minyan Av, or in other words, also Mid HaTorah. People clear on all the Sheetahs over here? The Ramban was just that. The Ramban of Sakhim had said, this is what we originally we realized it was contradicting itself. This is the way that the Ritva quotes the second Daya over here. These are all the same over here. One, two, three. There is the second Daya, the Ramban of Pesach, and they say that Mitzvah Bavavera applies to only things that are Greek, so it does not apply to other things. That's why the Gemara needs a special pair of Agrasa by Matzah Shalteth. However you apply Ritzoy, whether you limit the Torah to Ritzoy, limit Mitzvah Bavavera to Ritzoy, or limit the Daraisa to Ritzoy, or extend it from Ritzoy to all other things, not just the Zerzakasva of Sukkah HaGzula does. So what is Ritzoy, and why would I limit it to Ritzoy? And this is kind of what people were alluding to, and we've been dancing around long enough, we'll try our best to spell it out. Ritzoy is not such a clear phraseology. Intuitively, you kind of understand that maybe somehow certain things appease Hashem more than other things. What other words did Rishon use to describe Ritzoy? Shir Bashevach and Mahalulimov. Reminds us Mahalulimov, the baby parents uses both Lashon of. It could be there's certain things that somehow appease God, they sing praise God, they sing songs to God, etc., etc. Before we talk about all of the Talmudic drives to this, I'll just sharpen the svara a little bit. What's now with the svara? Why should Mitzvah Avera be adopted by Ritzoy? Yeah, it's more of a slap in God's face. It's more despicable in God's eyes. In other words, it's not just that you stole something in your mitzvah for it, but, you know, you're coming to appease me with something you stole? You're coming to me, you know, with a disgusting, vulgar, Avera-filled act, and you're, you know, using it for a mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Ritzoy? You know, that's what causes it. How do we know Lulav is Ivarach? How do we know Lulav is Mahalel and Hashem? So the Salvation has a whole list of lives, and the Salvation means it's worth writing it. Salvation has several lives. Number one is as follows. There's a thing called the Lulav HaYavish. Why is Lulav HaYavish possible? So the Gemara is not, so there's a few sheets of Zavishon. Rashi quotes the pasuk, "Zeh keli v'yan zayin." Rishonim go to town, they attack Rashi, they shred him apart, they rip him apart, they defend Rashi. But what's the problem with "Zeh keli v'yan zayin," by the way? Yeah, "Zeh keli v'yan zayin" means hinder mitzvah. You can tell me the problem with the lulav hayavish is that it's not hinder mitzvah. Hinder mitzvah day, a bonus. It's not a psul. If you don't have hinder mitzvah, you're still yotzei. But the Mishnah says Lulav HaYavish is possible, but is it possible by the way even serves as a ma'akev, it serves as a psul? Okay, that sheet does Rashi. Tosfos suggests a different svar. Tosfos says 3/8 Adar. Tosfos says 3/8 Adar. He's Zafka Hadar. The other issue is not Hadar, and that's the Derech Agassav, especially because we've got a little here. What's behind that machlokas or whatever, not brushing that. We discussed the third part. The Ravid offers a third sheet. What's the Ravid sheet? What? Yeah, but apparently applies to Esrog and other Dalai Mina Mikol, that's a carryover. The Ravid offers a third sheet, which is? What the Ravid say? Quote the Yerushalmi. What does the Yerushalmi say? Lo Hamasin Yahalalu Kod. Dead things don't praise God. The Soloveitchik said, you see from here, that a lulav, when it's alive, what does it do? Praises God. A lulav has the kach that be mishaveach et Hashem, in shir v'shevach to a kodesh baruch. So what right is this right in Yerushalayim? The Soloveitchik part would be more right. Take a look at the Tosfos in the second Lamed Tes, in the Sukkah, not Lamed Tes. Ask the following question. He asked a few places that come from the first part of Sotin as well. Tosfos says, usually, is a principle called overlap the Asan versus over to over. Over to over means you make the bracha just before you do the mitzvah. And overlap the Asan, overlap the Asan means you made the mitzvah just before you do the Asan. And over to over means you're too late to miss it. So, for example, we try our best. We make the bracha on matzah, we put the matzah in our hand. Make your bracha on any. When you put your tefillin on, when you make your bracha for tefillin, where the tefillin supposed to be? On your arm, just putting it on your head. It shouldn't still be in the bag. When you're putting on your tzitzit, when do you make the bracha? When you are putting them on, now it is still in the drawer. Usually they're in your hand when you're doing it. You want to have close proximity to the mitzvah. So that's great for motion mitzvah. The problem is when it comes to lulav. What's the problem? You run into a halachic catch 22. Once you lift up the mitzvah of Alaminim, you're already Otzeh. And if you don't lift them up, well, it's no longer overlay Otzeh, it's too far in advance, it's still on the table, it's not even the chetz in your hand, it's like making the bracha on tefillin while it's still in the bag, it's like making the bracha on a sukkah before you walk inside, it's like making the bracha on tzitzit while it's still in the drawer. So there in the second sukkah, that Lamed Tes, Tosfos offers four answers. The first answer, Tosfos says, I hope I get the order right, I don't remember the order, but take a look. One answer, Tosfos says, that since we know there's a, something called Derech Gidilasan, that the Dalai Minim have to be looked at the way that they are grown, if you pick up the Esrog upside down, oh, that's the second part? Okay, fine. The first part is you lift up the first three meaning, you lift up the Lula, Bahadas, if you're not wrong, you make it rock, and only then do you lift up the Esrog. Tarek number one. Tarek number two is based upon the din of Derech Gidilasan. That was the first one. The lulav and the ohav to lift it up in the water that they grow. So if you lift up the esrog upside down, right? Hapuch, it's backwards, it's upside down, so you're not yoked to the mitzvah. You have the lulav stood up right in your hand, you hold the esrog upside down, you make the bracha. After the bracha, you flip the esrog right side up and you be yoked to the mitzvah right away. That's day number two of Tosfos. And by the way, that's the halakha of Mitzvah. People, they have no sense. Yes, or no, say that. You didn't know where it was coming from, based upon this Tosfos. Then Tosfos offers a third mahalak, which is you have negative kavan. Your intention is not to be yotzei while you lift up the esrog. In other words, you lift it up knowing that you're not yotzei. And as long as you have negative kavana, you have kavana, your shaloma says, as long as you have negative kavanah, you're not yotzei. You only are yotzei when? After you make the bracha. Good, that's day number three. Then day number four, Tosfos, is the one that the Soloveitchik knows very well with us. And by the way, what's behind this machlokes? It's all 4 days. Fantastic question. Are they four different aces? Are they four different tips? Or is it actually like they're really cutting? Meaning, is there an advantage of holding the esrog upside down versus on a table, or on the table versus upside down? Are there advantages to one versus the other? Does anyone hold that negative kavana works about karakaf or yotzei? There is such a star like that running around shots that can bring the sense of Rosh Hashanah and the Rav of the Zayyat from Tosfos and Rav and that. There's a whole discussion. It could be negative kavana. How come you're yotzei even though you have negative kavana? So Soloveitchik was very masterful for this as well. But I think. No.
you won't have a salvation.
You know, he used to make the bracha of Hallel along with the Chatan. Why?
Because
the Chatan made the bracha, and he listened, maybe he was Yosef. No, most people say, I made for the Chatan's bracha, and then make your own afterwards. Salvation for spirits of Omer, for Hallel, was naked along with the bracha. Not to make negative Kavanah, forced him into a corner, and made him Yosef nonetheless. And if you make the bracha of his own, he brought the bracha. Yeah, that's some of the rough spoilers. In any event, Tosfos then has a fourth shita, which is what? You're not yet Yotze yet, even though you've lifted up the lulav. When are you Yotze? Only when? Only when you do the nanuim, only when you shake them. And then it's similar to. What's it similar to? Nidilat Yadayim. That even though, you know, you wash your hands, you're not Yotze until the nigo. You're not Yotze until you may not get your hands, until you dry your hands. And therefore, you can make the bracha. Even when your hands are wet, Tosfos says, even though they are similar, they're not exactly parallel because the Nigum is Ma'akev, the Nanuim is not Ma'akev, but nonetheless, you get the impression that that Nanuim is a chelik of the mitzvah. Salvation explains why the Nanuim a chelik of the mitzvah. And he argues because they sing praise to Hashem, they sing Hashem's song. It's the second dimension that of Salvation with Medayik, similarly from a Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Lulav. You may have it in the back, I'm fairly certain you do. Yeah, there are Shpichti Gemara, if not, the Rambam open up, now I'll read it to you. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Lulav, Heret. Zayin halacha test. The Rambam says as follows. Hilchas Lulav Perek Zayin halacha test. It's interesting, the Rambam, you should know, he puts together three mitzvahs. Why the Rambam calls different names is far from different things. It's funny. He puts together Lulav, Shofar, Lulav, and Sukkah. Or Shofar, Sukkah, and Lulav. What? Maybe. What's the minimum number? Could be, I'm not sure. It could be. It could be just a technical thing, or it could be something much more fundamental to it. I don't know. It's true. Shofar has three brachim, Sukkah has three brachim, and Lulav has two brachim. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's just a technical thing, or it could be something. There's definitely certain times you put things together that you wouldn't have thought to classify. They have plenty of brachim. For example, Zela Vaveza. I would stuck if Zela would be Neva, if anything. Or like Timi Dimu Musaf. What? Geneva is one, and Gizela Vabez is another. That requires thought. In other words, that's not the standard breakup, and I think Gizela Vabez has like 16, 17 problems. Meaning, the Rambam, he was definitely 15 times. There's no question about it. The question is, what was the system? That's the question. But in any event, okay, enough about that. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Lulav Perek Zayin Halacha, that's his powers. Listen carefully. Yeah, Rambam looks at that. Mishiyad bia arba milim elu ben shehig bion ta'achaz ben shizahazah ben biyamin ben bismol yotza. The Rambam says if you lift up, let's say, a few minim at a time, lulav, you put it down, you lift up the other three minim, you lift up the lulav and the nestro, you put them down, you lift up the hadas and the rava, doesn't have to be simultaneously. That's the major machlokas, by the way. Tosfos and Masechet Sukkah has a machlokas about it as well, the Bahaz versus Tosfos, to whether or not the Rambam is true or not. You have to lift them all at one time or not. What does it mean? The Rambam is passing Lakula, that you do not need to lift them all at one time. And additionally, you don't have to lift them up in your right hand, your left hand, if you're all Yosef. The Rambam does have one criterion for the Hagbah, for the Tila. What's that? Derech Gidilasa, that's the way they're growing. Then the Rambam says, a very funny Lashon. Umitzvah kehil chasa shiagbia aguda shel shlosha minim biyamin v'esrog b'smol. But the halachic way to do it is to lift up all three minim, the halulav, hadas, and arav at one time in your right hand, and the esrog in your left hand, v'yolech, v'yavi, v'yala, v'yored, v'yinanei, halulav, shalosh, v'ad, v'chol, ruach, ruach. And you should shake the lulav in each of the four directions. These days we do six, the Rambam only has four. Maybe not, maybe he has all six, I'm not sure. You should shake the lulav in all four. There's a rabbit in all different salvation. Yes, like what's going on? It seems like there are two levels over here. What are the two levels? There's b'di'evah, which he owes to it, and there's mitzvah kilchasa. What falls into the mitzvah kilchasa requirement? All at one time, simultaneity, simultaneousness. If the givul mean b'yad yamin and asher b'yad smol. And not knowing. So then she pointed out, what's the minimum level? The minimum level is you have to take them, lift them up. You have to lift them up, which is a minimum level of netilah. The bare minimum. Doesn't have to be the same time, doesn't have to be the right hand, you don't have to shake them. The best way of shaking them is lulav in the right hand, desfik in the left hand, all at one time. So then she pointed out, what are you gaining? What extra elements do you have if you do it this way? And he argued again, there's this din of being meshabech at Hashem, being shir l'shevach to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Similarly, there's an interesting Gemara that says that what should you make the bracha on? Why do you make the bracha on lulav? You should make the bracha on esrog. The Gemara answers no, because lulav is holy, it's higher. The Gemara says no, lift up the esrog higher. The Gemara says no, it's not that. That's not what it means. It means that lulav, like fundamentally, is taller. It's when it has to be higher than the other guys in the egg. So this is what this is talking about. Who cares if lulav is taller? Or why do you make the bracha on lulav? What's the connection? Salvation said this also, Ryan number four.
That the lulav is gavobio, so the fact that it's higher,
Salvation thought it's the conductor, it sings the loudest, it sings Shilah Shevach, like it's brought up the loudest. These were some of the rug riots. So the Salvation then concluded, now I'm going to sharpen it a little bit, I wasn't going to say my own simple Torah. I told him to Shammai during the face medicine, and he was strong in question to tell you my shtickle tar. So you'll hear me take a few minutes tangent. It's a little bit off the circuit, but I think it's worth it. My shtickle tar. Shammai definitely liked it, so you'll at least tell him the. He's the impetus behind the next part. But Salvechik then said, Lehalacha, if you have a choice, when should you make a bracha on the lula? When should you bench the lula? So some say the best time to bench the lulav is in the sukkah in the morning before you go to shul. Salvation said he didn't do that. He thought that was the incorrect practice. He thought the more correct practice, based on his whole shtickle Torah, is to lift up the lulav right before you said hallo. This way, the bracha, the lulav is going on not just on the netilah elements of the lulav, but the singing shir l'shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the nanuim and the whole gans and megillah all takes place during hallo. And the salvation was no, I had that practice myself. Partially because Rav Ali Tshuva and my father had no idea. He says, anyone, you know, like, he took the shul of the shul, he made the bracha then, because that's what the rabbi said to do. And partially because I picked up the chumrah from Arabic and told me this part, the name of the rabbi. I'm no hick like this all. What? One of the chumrah, correct. I wanted to extend this principle of the Salvechik just a little bit. I'll share with you the following extension, and again, it's really off topic, but it's a nice finish, I think it's true. If you open up to the Mishnah, Daf Chaf Tes for a second, Lulav HaGazel is a Hayyam Eish Pasul. It's a little bit off-hand. We'll get back to our major topic, which is Shita Shmuel. I don't plan on going through this more than 5 minutes. I plan on making sure we get back to deal with Shmuel properly so we can get into a ready Ula and then end up in the time of Shabbat tomorrow. Go back to the Daf stuff, a little more on the Daf stuff. Take a look over here. Lulav HaGazel Hayyam Eish Pasul. See the Mishnah Chaf Tes for this. Take a look at Rashi, Debri Hamas, Lulav HaGazel. Yaakov Sheikh, you want to read the Rashi, please? Do you mind? Lam is a chav tekin day. Beginning of Lulav HaGazel. Lulav HaGazel, go. But how many points did Rashi make here? So what's the first one? He's translating. What is a lulav? The answer is it's lulav kaf shel tamar. That's the first point he made. It's a good thing to learn to teach how to read a little bit also, not just now. Once in a while, I get so much into risk of lumbish stuff. I want to read a Rashi also. What's the second part of Rashi? Right, don't be so surprised that only lulav is mentioned here. We'll get to the other stuff later on. What major question should you point out in this Rashi? What about Esther? Not fair, Kansas. You knew it. I wasn't there. All the Achronim go to town. Why didn't Rashi mention Eshel? Rashi thought the reader would have read this mission and said, Lulav, HaGazel, Vayam, Shabbosel. Wait up, what about an Arav and a Hadassah? Oh, they're also, don't worry, they come up later on. But the reader would have never thought Eshel belonged in this category. Question is, why not? What would Rashi think? Why would anyone have that felt linked them together? Now the truth is, you get the impression that lulav and hadas and arav are kind of different from an eshkol. What are the obvious differences? Three of them are branches, and one of them is a fruit. What else, Sammy? The mitzvah of eged incorporates only the lulav, hadas, and arav. We put them together. We tie them up together. Put the eshkol separately. We even put the eshkol in different hands, and it comes based upon the pasuk. Look how carefully the pasuk is. The pasuk says, "Look up four things." A, B, C, and D. How many times would you expect the word and in there? How many vavs would you expect? Either three or one. Either it should say A, B, C, and D, or A, and B, and C, and D. But the pasuk says, L'kachem lachem b'yom harishon, pre a tadar, kapos timara, v'anavei tzavot, v'arvei nacha. Two times, five. What's the shot? There seem to be two groups. There's a group called Esrog, and then this group called Lulim, Hadassim, and Aravos, and the Vavs are connecting the second group together. That, by the way, that drush is the source that Eged is needed. But my point is that there seem to be two groups. One's a group of Lulim, Hadassim, and Aravos, and the other one's a group of Esrog. And now the truth is, that alone may be the Pshat and Rashi. It could be that this is the Pshat and Rashi. Why does Rashi say, V'hadr tani hadas v'arava v'nape nafshai? Because since there's a group of the Gimel, Minim and Esrog, its own, so you would have thought the three together and Esrog is separate. That is the standard way of interpreting Rashi. You can't, I'm sure what you learned in high school, what they say. That's the standard shot everyone says. But I'd like you to share a little bit more insight. This is my own stuff. I think it's true. I hope it's true. Original, so maybe it's not, but I like it very much. I like it enough that I'm saying it. I wasn't going to say it, but Chama, I liked it enough. Also, Kubik liked it enough. It was, he was the cusp of Ashlishi. He was the cusp of Ashlishi. I was four. The Pshat and Rashi is very nice. However, it doesn't explain why specifically on this Mishnah, Rashi had felt that Hadass and Arabic belonged here and not Esra. Meaning there may be two groups, but why are the two groups relevant on this particular mission? So I thought maybe there's a little bit of a problem, which is, if you look at the Pasuk, what's the order of the Pasuk? Esrog, Lulav, Hadass, Arabic. What's the order of the Mishnah? Lulav, Hadass, Arabic, Esrog. Is it the same order or not? What's the answer? Kind of. Why? In other words, we went 2, 3, 4, 1. Lulav, Hadass, and Esrog is the same. Lulav, Hadass, and Arava, rather, is the same. We just kind of took Esrog from the front and stuck it at the end. If you look at the Seder HaMishnah, it's the first mission and the third paragraph about Lulav. The second is about Hadass. The third is about Arava. By the way, you know what's even cooler? What's the fourth about? It's not about Esrog. Esrog is the fifth. The fifth is Esrog. The fourth is Eged. What's the point? I think when Rebbe was ordering the Mishnayos, he was showing you Lulav, Hadass, Arava, Eged, and the Eged is not just halachically, but here also structurally or linguistically showing us the separation versus Esrog. Still though, why did the Chumash put Esrog at the end? So there's a Shita that has quotes, and I think it's called the Harmanat, but I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce his name. He's one of the Mikubalim. And he's got an unbelievable Shita. He writes that for the mitzvah of Netilah, you know what you have to do? Lift up all four meaning. However, for the Na'anuim, you only have to lift up the Eged. L'halacha, when you do the Hoshana, when you shake it, you don't need your Esrog in hand, you only need the Lulav, Hadass, and Arava. It's true, you don't have to juggle the Lulav in the center of the Esrog. But where did the Svara come from? It was more than just a pragmatist. Why not lift up the Esrog? So I'd like to share with you my own insight. I think it's true. Who told us you're supposed to do Na'anuim? It comes from a pasuk in Tehillim, a pasuk that we actually say Friday night every week, maybe even twice. Oz Yiranidu, call Ate Ya'ar. What are Yiranidu Hashem? What? Ate Ya'ar. What are the Eitzim? The Lulav, the Hadass, the Arava, not the Esrog. The Esrog does not sing praise to Hashem. It could be it's just the egged. The two groups are not just, you know, I guess, in terms of agriculturally how they grow, are they branches or are they a fruit, but rather, atayar is what is mahalelech Hashem, but not the esper. If that's correct, just a few more insights. Maybe that's the reason why the Mishnayis decided to switch the order from the Pasuk. The Pasuk was talking about the Mitzvah, Netila, so you stuff Eshrog first, you stuff the Eged second, Lulav Hadas and Aravos. The Mishnayis, what order did they stick it in? The order of how to praise Hashem. I think that's found in the Kosef Yom HaKippur. Says the Torah switched around the order to put the Eged first. I'm suggesting the reason why is because Eged praises Hashem. If that's correct, what praises Hashem? The unity of the Eged. That's exactly what Rashi was bothered with. It wasn't just that Lulav had the team, i.e. Harav, Adat, and Harava, but Lulav's team is being expressed in this Mishnah by teaching Lulav before Ezra, by deviating from the order of Pesukim and teaching Lulav first. We're expressing the fact that it's being Meshabeach Mahalalet Hashem. Well, if that's the case, it does it as a team. Why then not put in Hadassim and Aravos? And that's exactly what Rashi is coming to answer a little bit later on. It's an extension of the Rav's work. And it basically explains the Harmanadi that they have quoted in the past that believes that only the Nanuim require, you know, only for Nanuim do you require the Egeg, not an Esrog. It could be explained as Rashi very nicely. You admit, it doesn't just explain that there is a group. It explains why specifically here the group had to have been mentioned. Maybe a couple of them. I'll just share one more little insight with you also. I thought of this morning. I read it by Shammai. He liked it as well. I'll share with you guys as well. If you look at the last line of the Mishnah, that Chavtes, it says, Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim kedei lenanea bo kasha. The Gemara explains that really you need is four tfachim. Three of Lulav, and the fourth is Kedei L'Naneav. Or in other words, it may explain that somehow what? The shear relates to the fact of being Naneav. You could have a unique shear in order to be Naneav, or something like that. If that's correct, Tosfos on Daf Lamed over here was like bothered. This morning, he spoke to Daniel this morning. Tosfos is like, well, the real psul for Shel Asherah, the Shel Ir Hanidachet, is the psul of Sute Nefetach Yure, right? Well, if that's correct, it needs to have a shear. Maybe Ezra doesn't have a shear. Well, Ezra must have a shear, and he proves it brings rise. Why would he have thought Ezra has no shear? Why would Ezra not need a shear? Why would Ezra be different? So, again, I don't know the maskana how he learned, but the Havmina may approach may have been based on this Harmanat, that Dafka. The three minim need shiurim because the shiurim relate to the ninu, the nanuim. It relates to being meshabech at Hashem. Kamashmalan esher. Both of these are shiur. Kamashmalan esher is also menanaya. I don't know, but it could be. I was like, where's that? You saw this house on Dav Lamed. He points out, no, of course, you know, esher needs a shiur. Why would I have thought otherwise? Everything in halacha needs a shiur. The answer is maybe shiur is an outgrowth of this din of being meshabech at Hashem. In any event, I went longer than 5 minutes, but it could be that based upon this whole shtickle Torah, a lulav is meratzeh at Hashem because it sings to Hashem, karbanos are meratzeh at Hashem because they also kind of sing to Hashem, maybe a shofar is, but it wouldn't be too much larger than that. All the other mitzvahs are important mitzvahs. Maybe this is what's going on when the Rishonim say the Lashon of Ritzoy. It's not such a clear terminology. This is the best I can do. Questions, comments, otherwise we'll move on to the last one, which is Shita Shmuel. Yeah.
Being
mafish challah, being may not necessarily sing to Hashem.
No,
I don't think so. I don't think so. Meaning, he's trying to prove that the principle of mitzvah of avera applies to other mitzvahs beyond lulav. That's what he's doing on Daf Lamed. I'm not sure why that's an agenda over there, but that's what he's doing. If that's the case, Daf wants to use examples that are not Meratzeh Hashem. Okay. Shita Shmuel.
Just to review, the Gemara over here says, Kapasik v'chami losh layam v'rishay losh layam v'sheni. In other words, a lulav ha-gadol. At first glance, it's possible both day one as well as day two through seven as well. Whereas I understand day one, the problem is, lachem, mishal, lachem, you have to own. What about days two through seven? The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's the mitzvah above the Avera. And according to Shmuel, you're okay. Mitov, she, yatza, big, gazel, yatza, nami, correct. Mitov, she, yatza, big, shaul, thank you for that important correction. Mitov, she, yatza, big, shaul, yatza, nami, big, gazel. And therefore, days 2 through 7, Shmuel allows for a stolen lulav. What happens in mitzvah above that Avera according to Shmuel? We weren't sure. We had a few possibilities how to try to solve that problem. One option was the Ritva. What did the Ritva say? The Ritva in the house is number one. Shmuel rejects it in its entirety. Who disagreed with this Ritva? So, Tosfos in the Sefer Sukkah on Daf Lamed, it says, the bottom be toch. Why does Shmuel not apply mitzvah above Avera today, 2 through 7? Because it's midrabanan. In other words, we only apply mitzvah above Avera to mitzvahs that are mina Torah. And since we're talking about the Gvulah days 2 through 7, what? It's not sure you have to show you have time to go. I didn't see this in Rishon, but I could have imagined another potential limitation of Shmuel. What could we now with this whole read to my background, what would it say according to Shmuel? Or maybe not read to my background. I could have imagined Shmuel limiting his doctor to carbon. After all, what? The pasuk is by carbon. Maybe it doesn't apply to read, so maybe it doesn't apply to Charmin, so maybe it's there because it's by carbon alone. I didn't find it in Rishon. I mean, usually, if I don't find it in Rishon, if I don't understand, unless I think it's a really good option. But I think it's a really good option. I don't think so. He doesn't tell you the meaning, but that's like something you have to spell out. In any event, what I like to do is think of, well, why would we limit the carbon? I understand. Why would anyone limit not to commit to Rabbanon? Then maybe get back to Rick for a little bit about rejecting it entirely. What does Svar for Tosfos? Why would mitzvah avav be'avera only be a problem by mitzvah metal? If you steal a lulav, that's really not good for a lulav d'araita. For a lulav d'rabbanan, again, we don't want you to steal, but it's not a problem with mitzvah avav be'avera. Why would you make such a hill? I'm going to try to suggest who to say. Again, you follow Tosfos and Shita, you got to see what you have made. In other words, if you steal a Megillah, you don't take one Tosfos and not for Shmuel, almost certainly, Rabbanan. The Megillah may be a little bit of a bad example. It's the whole thing about the Megillah, even that life, so it's like, well, it's like, we want that, we decide. What's a myth that's clearly Rabbanan besides Shmuel? What? There's kind of, still there's kind of according to Shmuel. What the first book of the book be? Certainly you're able to take a cross, Mr. Dravon. However, steal something in that Torah. Chauffeur. Maybe not chauffeur. Matzah, Lula, whatever it is. Here you go. Fine, what's this far? What's the thing? New Rabbanan said, what are you talking about? What could you suggest? Why would there be a difference between Mr. Dravon and Mr. Dravon?
Maybe you try to find in the middle of all the bears to understand the mitzvah of you say that when you do a mitzvah, really you're doing a mitzvah, it's just Hashem doesn't see grand. You're doing the healer, you don't get to see him. Hashem doesn't want it to be a mitzvah.
I'm not sure that's how far you're going. All I'm saying is that you're not going to be a mitzvah, but there's no mitzvah to say. What should we go on that far? Just say not based on the mitzvah. What do you want to say?
I was
Okay. I'm not convinced basic business. But even so, they're basic business. What do you want to say? It's a bigger slap in God's face than God himself asked for. And this is standard svara. I don't think you have to go any further than this, but I would like to offer a second option anyway. The standard svara, it's a bigger chutzpah. And then it's a chutzpah to prepare the Olam. Hold your prayer, Harif. Hold your prayer, whatever it's got here. In other words, Mela, you steal something at the rabbi, so you bring for a God. Okay, I believe God himself didn't command you directly. They told you to the rabbi, to the rabbi. However, for a mitzvah that rise for God himself, that's a huge snap in God's face to a possible love. Again, you shouldn't steal anything from him. In terms of the Soviet, there's always a mitzvah that rise for God himself. That's a standard way to go. I think most people would have said that on their own. I'd like to show you a second, sharper, more lumpish in the house, but I don't know if it's true. It's definitely cooler. I don't know if it's true. There's a chance it's true. It's based upon the Nesivis. People saw the Nesivis? The Nesivis has a very interesting hitch. The case is, let's say I'm a butcher and I start selling not kosher meat to people. So when are the situations where I have to peg you back and when do I not? If I tell you, trace meat, you got a raw deal, you didn't eat it anymore, and found out, you didn't find out, you did eat it, you didn't eat it. All sorts of interesting halachas as to when I have to pay you back, when I have to compensate you for the meat that I've given you. The details of this halacha, take a look inside in Moshe Mishpat. It's in Reish Lamed Aleph. If you're interested in the details, Moshe Kalman, I'm sure you are, take a look and figure out which the rice have to eat and doesn't it have clear, all of you. The Nesivis has a fascinating sheet. It explains a fascinating sheet that holds. If let's say the meat is Asher Midrabbanan, I don't know you anything. You eat it. Why not? Says the Nesivis, because if it's an Asher Midrabbanan and it was done, you showed me, you didn't really do anything wrong. You don't eat chew, but you don't do anything wrong. Nothing really bad about that.
We'll
say, hold on, you're right, hold on. Now, at first glance, the svara for this is somewhat surprising. If it's the shogeg and the rabbana, I'll make a chart. In other words, just like I can identify it. Yeah, if you can use a mixed sort of made it or the shogeg. It's either done in the Torah or it's done in the rabbana. When do you need teshuva? If it's not Torah, maybe you do. If it's not Torah, the Shogeg you do. If the Rabbanan, maybe you do. However, if it's both the Rabbanan and the Shogeg, somehow it falls under these two categories, you don't need to do teshuva. Question is, why not? It can't be because it's the Shogeg. It can't be Shogeg things that require teshuva because if it's Shogeg and Daraisa, you do need teshuva. And it can't be you don't need to do tshuva for the Rabbanan, but maybe the Karaites would have argued, or I don't know who, because the Mazid on a Rabbanan, you do need to do tshuva. Well, the question now becomes, what's the svar for this disease?
Shogeg
can be either Karaites or Rabbanan. In other words, the Torah itself depends on what the issue is. Meaning, if you eat basa b'chalav, b'shogeg, that's mitzvah d'oraisa. Eat chicken b'chalav, that's mitzvah b'shogeg, d'rabbanan. It could be either one. No. The Torah itself recognizes shogeg. Or even karbanos he brings. Karban chatzis he do b'shogeg.
Okay.
You hear the question, Zach? It's a funny svara. What's going on in the Nesivis today? Morty, you hear the question? Sam, you good? You with me? Wesley, how you doing? Chef, you good? Yeah, sure. What do you want to find?
The Rabbanan, the mission of putting over the Rabbanan is all about the
Correct. L'chora al sharka, which means you knew this before, you heard this just reading out right now. You just didn't know it was going to be. L'chora, there are two possible things you can do wrong with an aveira. One thing you can do wrong is you can deliberately disobey. For example, if my son would sit in, I don't say emotional, come to the table, and instead he walks downstairs. There's nothing wrong with walking downstairs. It's only bad because I told him to. He deliberately disobeyed me. Alternatively, if he decides to hit his sister, he has done something wrong, even though I may not have told him that. Something intrinsically wrong with hitting your sister, or running in the street for that matter, or whatever else he may have a tendency to done. There are two reasons why you can get near the divorce, because you deliberately disobey. You never see something intrinsically wrong. What she would like to suggest for the Nesivus is that, when have you deliberately disobeyed? When you did something that was amazing. Whether it's Daraisa or Darabona, you did something wrong. When is there something intrinsically wrong? Only when the Torah itself asks it. Only after the Torah question, oh, I have to make something intrinsically wrong. There are those who want to say, although it's not as clear, that if it would have been intrinsically wrong, the Torah would have answered it. By virtue of the fact that the Torah didn't answer it, means that what? It wasn't intrinsically wrong. The Rabbanon only have the koach to do what? To make you disobey them. They have, you have to listen to them. They can't have a koach to change them. Or in other words, they say in Lamish terminology, Isurei Torah are Isurei in Bechetza. There's something intrinsically wrong with them. While the Sirei Darabanan are problematic in the Gavra. It's not that you did something intrinsically bad, but you disobeyed. If it's an Isha Daraisa, eating Basar B'chol, eating Chametz, that it's a bad thing. It's Basar B'chetz, it's intrinsically, inherently bad. Mash'enking, Sirei Midarabanan, which are not inherently bad. It just happens to be you deliberately disobeyed. Well, says the Nesivus, if it's Isha B'gavra, and it's Peshogit, you didn't deliberately disobey because it's Peshogit. And it's an Isra Gavra, not intrinsically wrong, it's only wrong because if you would have deliberately disobeyed, since you did neither, there's no need for Teshuvah. Based upon this Nesivus, maybe you could say a more lumdish of Shat and Tosfos. On that Lamed, then I'm asking me to talk. What could you suggest in Tosfos? Rabbanan, you're rebelling anyway. You're rebelling against Rabbanan. Could you use this to see what to explain Tosfos? Shaykh, you got it or not yet? Give him out to me, Tosfos. Go on the bottom, see? What's the svara? Why would the Rabbanon not be subject to mitzvah b'avera? But if you think that the Nesivus is correct, that means Isurei Darabanan are not possible in the Chetza. There's no inherent Isra running around in the Chetza if it's Isurei Darabanan. I'm sorry. Right? Now that's the basic idea. It could be, if you believe that mitzvah above avera, the soul of the chetza, that the chetza itself is tainted the iser. So maybe that would only be an issue for mitzvahs that are about the chetza. In other words, that has a spot. Let me see if I can trouble it. In other words, even though the Nesivim is talking about Isurei Me'atorah, Isurei Daraita versus Mitzvah versus Isurei Darabana, maybe we can assume that Mitzvah Me'atorah are also Bechetza, while Mitzvah Darabana are only Begavra. In other words, in the Mitzvah, we're listening to Darabana. But it's nothing inherently valuable putting up a rule of Isurei to yourself. Day one, the Torah gave intrinsic and inherent value looking up a rule of day one. Days 2 through 7, there's no intrinsic value. The goal is just to listen to the Rabbanan. How does mitzvah above avera work? Well, if it's a psul chetza, it can't be that the chetza no longer is capable of having intrinsic value because it's got iser running through it. However, if the mitzvah above avera, if the mitzvah is just listening to the Rabbanan, one could imagine even using a tainted chetza would be okay because the goal is to listen to them and not to create intrinsic value with this chetza, which is tainted with the intrinsic value of this. It's a little bit of a stretch, but I think it's important to see this to be aware of, but I think it could work. Again, the reason why it's a little bit of a joke is because I'm not talking about the iser being derabbanan, I'm talking about the mitzvah being derabbanan. But I still think it can work. In other words, if the chetza inherently one could argue that the mitzvah derabbanan has no value in the chetza, and mitzvah derabbanan psul because there's a psul in the chetza, since there's no clash in the chetza itself, you're okay. In other words, mitzvah derabbanan means this chetza is a tainted chetza. You cannot use this chetza to make the dog. You cannot find intrinsic value in this chetza because it's a tainted chetza tainted with this. That doesn't mean you can't listen to the Chachamim with it because you're not going into the Chetza itself for its inherent value, for its intrinsic value. Maybe that's what's going on in Tosfos' mind. Most likely it's the Baal Batash Pshat, but it's a little bit lumpish. The second Pshat, based upon the Nesivus, it's a well-known Nesivus. I'll be honest with you. I always, one of the reasons why I suggest this is because the Nesivus is a worthwhile Nesivus to know. Very, very important. And the truth is, it's very helpful. Anytime you ever have a chilek between mitzvah daraisa versus mitzvah drabbanan, or even better, isurei daraisa versus isurei drabbanan, this nesivus can be very helpful. Meaning, anytime the halacha is, all isurei drabbanan are like this, and isurei daraisa go differently, it's always worthwhile to rethink this nesivus and think like, you know, does it somehow fit into this chetza gavra split? Yeah, question. Kalmar and then Shul. What do you got, Kalmar?
So,
if there's no real value in the other than looking for Hana, what is Hana? I guess the Rabbanah created this for Hana. Meaning, I have to look at this for Hana a little more. Look at that, I'm over. Alright, that's my sign that I gotta do some quick. Yeah, Shul, quick. So this would assume, and this Tosfos, again, which way do you want to go in Tosfos? The Birkas Avraham Lord, the Tosfos on Daf Tes one way, Tosfos earlier on Daf Lamed goes the other way. This Tosfos on Daf Lamed at the bottom is not like Tosfos at the top on Daf Lamed, because even Tosfos at the top on Daf Lamed, these are the Yochanan, the Daf is Mitzvahs Daraisa, and that Mitzvahs Rabban, which means Shmuel and Yochanan would be agreeing. This Tosfos is not like the Tosfos earlier on the page. And before it's learned that this Tosfos is holding Mitzvahs above Avraham and the Chepta, yeah, maybe that's what I'm saying in this Tosfos. That'd be correct. This Tosfos is Mitzvah above Avera, the problem of the Chepta, not Machlis. Again, the Tosfos earlier on the page. Again, I know he disagrees with Tosfos going on the page, but this is the second dimension of disagreement. It could be, you don't have to go so far to say the Chiddush, but it could be. What? Presumably. You can. Because, no, but Mitzvah Rabbanan, you know, everyone allows for it. Okay, good. The last thing is quickly,
we had spoken about this mikra a little bit. This is to reject Shmuel and its entirety. We pointed out, you know, you can make it a kimzan dot test that the Gemara goes only a leave with the Shmuel. We pointed out that it wasn't such a tough kimzan. Why not? Because Shmuel is what we're talking about. We're asking a kasha from Shmuel, and the whole Gemara goes a leave with the Shmuel. It makes sense that we're talking about Shmuel. Case would be, you know, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whoever else would say, you know, in a mitzvah of Abba Avera is. Which one, you know, the reason why it's so possible. Okay, one more thing about the mitzvah. Yeah. I pointed out last time that the Lashon is mitoch, she yotze, the girl, yotze, not even the show, is a very difficult Lashon. What do you mean mitoch? It sounds like because, or since, Alulav HaShaul is no good. Therefore, Alulav HaGazel is also no good. If anything, Alulav HaGazel is worse because there's a potential problem of mitzvah HaGazel. How do you read the words mitoch? So it's a very tough word. I've thought about it a lot. I came up with something that Kansas had already suggested at the end of the year last time. Kansas, what did you say?
When you do it, it's 4 years as far as not.
Correct. There's an interesting halacha, which we'll actually get to later on, called kinyane izela or kinyane gnei. Meaning, if I say, give me a watch this marker for a second. Okay, he told me not to. Whose marker is it? It's still my marker, it's just Zach's holding on to it. Now, if I would sell it to it, it would certainly be his. Is there anything in between? So there's a good chance there are. There's a good chance, like a shomer. If he adds that, if I give it to him, he holds me a piece of my work, I just bought that marker, and he's a shomer. The halach is he even pays not just for, like, Shia, he pays for the name of Abed, and he even pays for bonus. If lightning strikes it, it's his loss. Why is that the case? So there's all sorts of svaras. The simple svara is that a shoel takes upon morach rice, makabalach rice, he says, my horn, I want it. I'll even be willing to pay back if onus occurs. However, there's some of them shown in the Sefer Mikra, the Rashba, and others who indicate that it's almost as if that becomes a temporary vow. And therefore, if it gets destroyed, of course, who loses out? Him because he's the vow. There's certain kinyanim that a shoel gets. What Kantowitz is suggesting is maybe a ganav has even more kinyanim. In other words, we talk shiyat to the shovel if the only concern I'm aware of is lachem. Well, if a shoel works where it's not even yours, certainly a ganav would work where there are more kinyanim gnei, but it's more kinyanim gnei. But halachically, more yours than by a shoel. Again, as long as you're taking into account mitzvah, blah, they are the lashon of mikoch, it's very difficult. L'chora, this means great according to the Ritva, because the Ritva rejects mitzvah, blah, there in its entirety. This Shmuel doesn't agree to the notion of mitzvah, blah, there, or maybe limits it to karka, but definitely doesn't extend it to lula, in which not even lula of da'oraisa, there's no such thing as mitzvah, blah, there. The only concern is well, hand. Once you isolate mitzvah baba there completely, it's no longer probable. And the lashon of mitoch shiyata b'shol yata b'gadol is a lot more easy to read. Tosaf is going to have a tougher time reading this lashon. Tosaf is going to have to translate mitoch to mean like kimo, which is not really what it means. It means just like, you know, so too, as if, but doesn't mean like sin. In other words, the lashon of mitoch is more of a connotation of sin. As almost as if like there's more of a reason to passel Shaul, according to Tosis, who accepts mitzvah b'avera to some level, it's a tougher read. According to the Ritva, he rejects it, which leaves open the opportunity to explain it the way like Kantowitz did, which is that Geneva, there are more kinyanim, and therefore it's, you know, if we talk shiat to the Shaul, well certainly your yotze the gazel. Alright, we'll stop here.